The Bible reading for this morning is from Matthew chapter 4, verses 12 to 23. Jesus begins to preach. When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he withdrew to Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among the people. This is the word of God.
How does Jesus lead and equip each one of us? I think as we look through Matthew's gospel, this is the question that is brought forward. Matthew's gospel is a beautiful book. It's like the instruction manual for the early church. But it also has these fulfillments of all these different prophecies in there. And so as we read through this passage today, we see that Jesus is fulfilling yet another prophecy of the prophet Isaiah. So it's no longer a prophecy, it's actually a promise because it's come true. And so there's another reference to that. In this passage, we see John goes to prison and then Jesus steps up and takes on the cry of repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Now giddy up, his ministry has started. And so as we start this year and as we're getting into the life of the church and as all the programs start back at the church over the next couple of weeks, well, I think this is a cracking good passage to start off with. In 2016, I asked this question, are we on a cruise ship or are we on a battleship? Now, I know there's more to church than an hour on a Sunday, and I know all of you know that as well. But there's a challenge in the imagery sometimes with whether we're on a cruise ship or a battleship, and some people, oh, Nick, you know, oh, we don't like those warlike kind of images you might be giving. Well, just hear me out for the imagery that we have today. Are we on a cruise ship or are we on a battleship? You know, it might surprise you. I've actually been in ministry now for 10 years at this place of Mount Cola. And this was the question I asked 10 years ago this week. Are we on a cruise ship or a battleship? So my litmus test for a good church, what's your kind of test to work out whether a church is good? And sometimes people go, oh, it has to have really good relevant worship. Well, that's subjective to all the people who are sitting there. Oh, it has to have songs that are meaningful. Again, subjective. Oh, it has to have a connection for the people in church. Yep, again, subjective, because you can have a very high church that connects people. You can have an Orthodox church that connects people. You can have a Catholic church. You can have a Protestant low church that looks more like a community church. You can have a cafe church. All of them can be, but it's subjective. Do you want me to tell you what my little litmus test for whether church is doing well or not after you've had your worship service, after all's been said and done? That around about 60 to 70% of people hang around for a cup of coffee because they actually want to hang out with the brothers and sisters. Yeah. If things are not going well, it's sub 40%. It really is. You know, and in ethical ministry training, even just last year, we're called into being the church, not doing church. And it's not I am the church, it's we are being the church and we're not doing it. If our mindset comes out of we, you know, I am the church And if the mindset comes out of, oh, we, it's something we do, it's not something we do, it's something we are. It's our being. But what does Matthew say? Matthew says this, come and follow me. And this is the call out to the disciples. Come and follow me. And I will send you out to catch men. With a purpose and a meaning from the example he gives. Come and follow me, and I will send you out to catch men. So come, the call is on, and here's your purpose, to go and catch men. And it's not aimless, but it's with authority and it's with power. So how do we see this journey as the church? How do we see our journey as Christians in the church? Do we see it empowered by the Holy Spirit, doing amazing stuff in our community? Or is it not? You know, there's the consumer-driven church and there's the disciple-driven church. And I think sometimes, you know, the question has to be asked, are we aiming to be a consumer-driven church or a disciple-driven church? A consumer-driven church is where we lead based on what your desires are. Ah, so as a minister, if I just let your desires come to the forefront and we just keep doing that, then that's what consumer-driven church is, because I don't want to annoy any of the people who are turning up because they're the consumer and they're paying for me to be the minister. So it's like money in, worship out. That's a really poor thing to be doing. It's really poor. In fact, if there are many churches I've come across that have had consumer-style natures. And you know, when things go wrong, oh, they hate the minister or they hate the leadership. Or they just walk away and say, I'm not putting money in the plate this week. That sermon wasn't good enough. You know, but a disciple-driven church is where we lead to a purposed destination under God. You know, the last 10 years we've headed on to a destination, but probably not through the methodology that we as the church always desired here at Mount Collard. And I've got to say, the path has not always been easy. There's been times of growth and times of, well, contracting, and then times of growth again. Why? Well, there's been different things that have been happening that have affected and impacted the life of our church and our denomination. I don't steer clear of that. I say there's been some real challenges in there. But we're actually on a time of growth again at the moment, which is a really exciting season to be in. But it hasn't always been that easy path. The destination matters though, doesn't it? It always matters. In the mid-80s, this church of Mount Collar set a new destination in its journey. They wanted a new worship centre. And if you actually go into the foyer of the church today, you'll see what the potential was for the windows. So if you come in, we've got these beautiful windows right across the front of the church. But I actually have hung up in the foyer at the moment what the stained glass windows would have looked like should we have put stained glass windows in, because they had a design for it. You know, there was discussions and decisions of how the shape was so important, and yet it was so confronting with what we designed. Well, the design of the church, is it going to be a square church? Is it going to be a fat church? Is it going to be a round church? Is it going to be a high church? Ooh, there's so many things. I don't have to say that one of our beautiful servants got a little bit of brain damage along the way, good old Fed Gregson. He got a little bit of brain damage as he was working through all of this with other people, and he was project managing it, because people go, oh, but what about our square church with our wooden pews? That's not what they got. But then again, the design of a battleship is different to that of a cruise ship, isn't it? You know, today we actually sit in the final destination of a journey, but along the way, those gifted and talented, those who were set aside to manage and oversee the project, well, sometimes criticised, sometimes slandered, occasionally ignored or undermined, and sometimes really blessed. Why? Because certain people's desires and methodologies were not being played to. The consumer was saying, hey, hold on, I want to have more of a say. Some wanted our church to be a cruise ship. Now, a cruise ship's an interesting image, isn't it? You know, you got to ask yourself the question when you're on a cruise ship, do I like the music? Do I like the captain and his crew? Is it going to the destination I want? Is the cruise the length I want it to be? Is the service good? Are my needs being met? Is my cruise pleasant, comfortable, clean? And do I want to sail with them again? Now, I've been on a few cruises, and there are some cruise ships Sam and I've been on, we've gone, oh, can't wait to be on that again. And then there's been one or two where we've got off it and gone, whew, yeah, glad we're not going on that again. Anyway, a battleship, though, is totally different. And a number of years ago, the Navy kind of tried to woo me into considering becoming a Navy chaplain. They always do the same thing. They'll take you through HMAS tools because it's the next British Navy ship where the chaplain gets his own separate cabin and study. Uh-huh, yeah. No other ship has that for the chaplain, let me tell you. But a battleship is different, and it's on a clear and noble mission. The question is asked, does the leadership submit to a higher authority? Are the crew members equipped to succeed? Can everyone contribute in significant ways, and are they honoured for their efforts? It's a different attitude. And so the question comes, why do you come to Mount Cola? Is it the music, the people, the acceptance, or is it more to it than that? What about the backgrounds? I mean, people come from different denominations, ethnic backgrounds, social backgrounds. You know, the Uniting Church is some 49, I think, years old now. You know, but what cruise ship, what ship are we on? Are we on the cruise ship or are we on the battleship? Well, the cruise ship or consumer church has some problems. Firstly, you pay to be on it. And your attitude is such. You want value for money. It's all transactional. And it's hard not to be critical if that's your attitude of church. You want to choose where the ship travels, if the ship stops, or if something goes wrong, you want to get off or seek a refund and go, hold on, I wanted to go to Noumea and you took me to Fiji. I didn't want to go to Fiji. You know, I want a refund. You haven't taken me. Oh, it didn't stop in that port. I know there's a cyclone, but it didn't stop. How dare it not stop? I've paid for that. And so we become a little bit anxious if we're in a consumer-driven church when things aren't happening when we've been told that that's probably what you're going to get. You know, we've got to be open to the whim of the Holy Spirit sometimes redirecting us into a new direction. Cruise ships do have advantages, though, don't they? You get fed and nurtured and cared for. And isn't it wonderful? Isn't it wonderful? You know, they're there, beautiful you. And that you can choose what you're doing that day, the activities you're going to be doing, the games, the comedians you're listening to, the bands you're going to listen to. And when the ship changes course, yes, can I have an explanation? Oh, certainly, we'll put it out over the PA. Everyone is like-minded, though, on the cruise ship, aren't they? Because you've all chosen to be on that cruise together. Battleship, though, is different. You have a specific task or role to do, you know, and you can be called to do other tasks. I remember one of my friends who joined the Navy band, and I said to her, oh, this will be an interesting ride. And a couple of years later, I bumped into her and I said, how's the Navy band going? She said, oh, that part's good. But she said, they sometimes deploy me on the ships as a medic or fire crew. I said, have you been trained in that? She goes, yeah. Not only do I blow a trumpet, but I also get to go and do really valuable stuff out on the... I was like, okay. You know, when you're on a battleship, you don't always know where you're headed. You need to actually have faith in the leadership and just trust that they do know the direction of where you're going. There are lonely and faithful tasks on a battleship too. The captain is one of those lonely and faithful tasks, and also keeping watch is a lonely and faithful task sometimes into the quietness of the nights. And you know, when you're on a battleship, when you sail, the party stops. And on a battleship, when things get tough or go wrong, you actually know your task and purpose, and so that's where you go to focus. And when attacks come, you don't leave your post because you know that you're trained to be in that post to do whatever it is to do at that time. And some areas, even when the battleship's under attack or something's gone wrong, some areas seem undaunted by the problems. Places like the kitchen. You know, they'll hear the stories, but they're a safe place to talk, and they're still going to keep feeding you because that's their purpose, is to make sure that you're being fed and nurtured and able to go and be equipped to do what you need to do. It's beautiful. In a battleship, though, we have to have trust. We have to have trust in the captain, the officers, and the crew. We have to have trust in even the newest of crew to be working with the oldest of crew. And we have to believe in the ability and gifts and talents of all. Because not everyone is on that cruise ship is the same as you. You know, they haven't all chosen the same kind of pathways to be on that ship. And we also need to have an attitude of how do we seek to better ourselves and continue our training, but also to be a blessing to other people who are on the ship around us. You know, And we need to know also, I suppose, on a battleship, it's interesting because you need to know what causes disunity, dissensions, disagreement, and work for unity and in all forms of diversity, but also to have encouragement at the heart of it, because we're going on a noble mission. The battleship, it's interesting, isn't it? It's I remember hearing of a cruise ship where the people were complaining because they were on a cruise, I think it was to Fiji or thereabouts, and another ship had a distress call. And so this cruise ship missed out on a port in Fiji because it went off to try and help out another boat that had done a distress call. A battleship's different, though. It shows mercy to all and rescues all, no matter which side they sailed on. That's not what it's about. When somebody's in the water, drowning, the battleship will still come and save them, even if they're part of the enemy. You know, you don't pay to be on it, but you do receive rewards. And when one triumphs, all triumph. When one ship succeeds, others take hope. The battleship has a purpose. You get fed an ample and staple diet that sustains you. You can become an officer if you have the gifts for it. In fact, one of our friends, their daughter, joined the Navy, and she was in it for about 2 years. And she was loving it. And then she comes home for leave one time and says, "Oh, I'm actually going down to officer training school." And everyone was, "Wow." She said, "Yeah." She said, "They actually said, you've got gifts and talents beyond what you're showing here, and we can see them in you. And so we're actually sending you off to officer school because we believe that you're the right person to be in leadership on the ship in the future." It's interesting, isn't it? Our lives are very complex. Our lives in our church, whether it's the corporate or the personal life, it's always a challenge. The battle we may be facing, it could be on a personal level, it could be actually on a corporate level. It says in the Bible we fight against principalities and powers of this world. But do we actually recognize this? Or are we just trying to put up with the nuances of each day? The Uniting Church has been in battle since before its inception. So no other group, no other church group in Australian history has ever united, and Satan doesn't like unity. In fact, that's one of his greatest lies he tells you is we need more denominations, we need to be more righteous than that other denomination. So he doesn't want unity, especially in any form of diversity. Our structure should empower, encourage us, and not shackle us. And I actually think the Uniting Church does that, and it holds accountability well in the palm of its hand. You know, in our regulations, it makes it fairly implicit that the minister is a member of the church council, but is not the chairperson, the treasurer, or the secretary, is not an office bearer. That's not what should be happening. And I think that's a beautiful thing, because it actually holds me accountable to three other people who are definitely above me because they have the signatories of the church, but also the brothers and sisters who are joining me on the church council, because we're all in it together. And this present season we're in, well, I've got to say, our present season at our church, worship is alive, vibrant, and relevant. Amen? It's alive, vibrant, and relevant. And our programs are reaching into where the community has needs, and they're growing. And this is a really exciting thing. Our training is good, and it's getting stronger and stronger. Our hearts are set on higher mission, not on our own desires. And this is a really important, because we're seeing that God is at work, not just, "Oh, that was lucky that we did that." It's not lucky that we did that. It's God's hand is working in and through us and stirring us. So what's the future hold? Well, that's a really good question, isn't it? So the question comes up from Jesus and what Jesus puts on the call of the disciples' lives and our lives. What is your call? What is your purpose this year? What is God calling you to do this year? What's your purpose for this year? See, if you're on a cruise ship, if your church for you is a cruise ship, what's it going to take to get you off it? Battleships go on missions, not just sit in the harbour. You know, and so how do we reclaim that mission of God into the world? I can't talk about this and not say that our ship took some damage a number of years ago. And so many people, we lost some people at that time, and it was really sad. But many people have helped repair, and now we're steaming ahead and there is room for more. Our battleship has grown. There are some new crew who've joined, and some who've departed, gone to glory. or moved out of the area. And the fleet, well, the community of churches across the whole northern area of Sydney needs this battleship to be strong and doing what it's doing. Not just for the sake of ourselves. A battleship is not strong because it is by itself. A battleship is strong because it is part of a fleet. And there's different sizes of, you know, there's frigates, there's aircraft carriers, there's supply ships. All of them have purposes in that fleet. And so we're all part of the fleet. So the question is, are we ready for the new journey of this year? Are we ready? What did Jesus say? Come and follow me, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. At once. No hesitation. This year, may we continue to follow Christ's way, and as he calls, may we just at once leave our nets and go, you know, that's our old way, that's what we were doing, but now we're going to go and do the new things, because God has encouraged us to do it. You know, we need to be reading the scriptures and spending time in prayer, and may we be united for a common cause. I googled this because I thought it was actually an interesting question. How long does it take to build a battleship? Says between 4 and 6 years for it to be built and fully fitted out. And then it says, but some of them take nearly 10 years. And I thought, interesting, isn't it? 10 years ago, I asked what ship we were on. And then 4 years ago, playgroup started. The ship was sailing. Folks, our playgroup is continuing to go from strength to strength on a Monday and on a Wednesday. Not only that, but Craft and Computers is doing a wonderful job. Our Women on Wednesday, our Men Meet Monthly, our coffees and chats, they're all growing. Every ministry is growing in our church, and we have our new battleship. It's been refitted and it's ready for action. And you know what? Ephesians 6:12 says, for our struggle is not against the flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of darkness of this world, and against the spiritual forces of evils in the heavenly realms. Amen. Amen to that, yeah. This year, Jesus continues to call us to radical changes, to radical ministry, and to radical mission. Now, you might sit there and say, oh, but Nick, I'm enjoying my little cruise ship. Yep. We all enjoy the cruise ship, but I don't think I could live on a cruise ship all of my life. But I think I could live on a battleship for a lot longer than I could a cruise ship, because it has a purpose for being there. You know, as we live this call out, we've got to ask ourselves, will it bless the community? Will it inspire other congregations? Will it heal brokenness? Will it stir us onto love and more and good deeds? And see, God is our captain, and he has a destination that we're heading to with him. We might not know what that destination is today for where the rest of this year will head, but here's what I know. He is faithful and true in his word. His promises are sure, and he does not do anything to harm his people, because he loves us all wonderfully. This week, may you be blessed. Amen.